for blessed sinners who has hurt all mankind. Just a Savior's own belief.
Isn't that the best love song? That is the best love song there is. Bob Marley with One Love. Bob Marley and the Wailers, I should also mention. This is from his 1989 album, Legend. And the album is a compilation of work that they had done up until that point, but this is the all-time greatest love song in my opinion. I'm so delighted to share that with you today. Well, yesterday we still were talking about race and the race for president. I don't think everybody got in on this discussion. We still had quite a few people who did not get in to share their thoughts. So we will combine those who did not get in yesterday with our regular Free Your Mind Friday folks who want to share their thoughts about various other topics as well. I want to say this, and I'm going to say it often. You'll hear me say it often. I am very proud of you all for making such a strong effort to convey precisely and concisely your thoughts. And it's no trivial matter at all. I can tell you, I know, I sense the movement upward from where we started to where we are today. And indeed, you have become teachers, you've become educators, you've become people who take this thing very seriously, not just as a shot where you get to run your mouth off and then you disappear, but the idea is that you are investing in, you know, upping your game, understanding consciously that when you speak, you're also teaching. That is great. So you've come a long way, and I'm very, very proud of you. Harvey from Berkeley, you start us off today. Haven't heard from you in a while. Are you there?
Yes, hello? Hello?
Hi, Harvey. How you doing?
Good. Do you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay,
just fine.
Well, I just want to say hello, more than marvelous, Utrice.
And I want to, thank you.
I want to wish both you and Mother Earth a happy Valentine's Day. And today I'd like to talk about one of your favorite subjects, keeping our communities trash-free. And with me, as far as I'm concerned, it all started when we were booted out of the Garden of Eden. And the story tells us that God created this wonderful garden, which he gave to Adam and Eve to live in and enjoy, but there was one catch. There was a special tree called the Tree of Knowledge that God warned Adam and Eve about, and he didn't want them to eat of the fruit of the Tree of Knowledge. And life was great in the garden until a talking snake, or was it a reptilian, convinced Eve to share some of the fruit of the Tree of Knowledge with Adam. When God found out that they had defied his command, he threw them both out of the garden, which turned out to be the first recorded drug bust and eviction. So we shoot forward to today's world, and what do we find? It turns out that that rich and well-to-do people live in clean and green garden-like environments with beautiful trees and flowers. But unfortunately, in less prosperous communities, we see a lot of plastic trash, beverage containers, cigarette butts, as well as other litter and garbage that's more than commonplace, with very little greenery to speak of. So it's time for these underprivileged communities to take take a stand by becoming clean and green. And it's a simple and fun thing to do. The first thing is to get in touch with your neighbors through your local churches and other places of worship, as well as community organizations like the Boy and Girl Scouts, local school bulletin boards, the Kiwanis Club, the Senior Corps, etc., and put out flyers as well as post information on websites like Facebook and Twitter that there's going to be a community trash cleanup event, say every Saturday or Sunday from around noon to 3, where neighborhood people, both young and old, are invited to walk the streets with trash bags and pick up sticks and collect unsightly trash. And the next step is to attend City Hall meetings and suggest improvement programs sponsored by local government agencies to start community organic gardens as well as tree and flower planting parties, which will turn crime-infested neighborhoods into self-respecting communities. And where there was blight, the future will look bright. So it's time to get back to the Garden of Eden by making our wonderful neighborhoods clean and green, like you, wonderful Utrees, always suggest to your vast PRN audience. And I just want to thank you, Utrees, for being who you are, and you're absolutely a wonderful, great person. I love you.
Thank you so much. I love you too, Harvey. Thank you very much for that.
Bye-bye.
Clara from Philadelphia. Hello, Clara. Are you with us?
Yes. Hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you. Okay. My reason for calling is I didn't hear yesterday's program, but I have some feelings and thoughts about what happened. One thing that happened on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. A regular caller called in and expressed her optimism about the potential future of our country, based on some her feelings about what some other people have done, some people in the cohort of Trump who've walked away from him. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I'm optimistic, based on the belief that eventually we'll be saved, not her words but mine, but by the defections of the Trump's cohorts from his regime. But a few have walked away. A few have walked away, and I immediately responded on an emotional basis, and then I began to respond in other ways. But when I heard first of all, the word "eventually" bothered me, because eventually means an unspecified time in the future. It means a lot of things that I consider negative, like in the end, by and by, when, you know, all said and done, all that kind of thing, unspecific time points in the future. And my concern about it is that attitude seemed to me to be so passive, and I wondered where that would fit in our defense of ourselves. I say defense because this system, and I think I have evidence for this. This system is waging a war against the citizens, most of the citizens, people of color, poor white people, and middle class people who are being dragged in large numbers into poverty. And that's done by eliminating many of the supports we have, the tax system, all kinds of things, elimination of jobs. I don't have to go into the details at this moment. But I'm concerned about it because I didn't want to let that pass. I didn't want to let that way of thinking pass as being okay amongst the people who are more progressive, because that's the attitude that the neocons want us to assume, one of passivity and submissiveness based on deception, I believe. So I just wanted to bring that out. I could say more, but I won't take up more time. I just want people to think about that and not allow it to infect our way of thinking and our way of behaving. I want to say one more thing. I can say just one more point. I think that a lot of people don't realize that we're that they are at war with us, and we don't even know it for the most part. Okay,
there is a very special program I have planned for Monday that actually directly goes to the points that you're raising now.
Thank you.
It's quite a riveting presentation. I urge you to tune in and listen to it.
I certainly shall.
Thank you, Clara.
Thank you, Latusi. Bye.
Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
Listen, hey, Jay, Utrice, how are you doing?
Quick question. Is there any way that you could put me in contact with Patricia?
Not that I've been given permission to do. I will see what she says. I'm uncomfortable about it because, you know, I would need to have her permission to do that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was saying hopefully she's listening, because I would really like to speak with her. Also, Harvey is a great American. You know, every time he calls up to your program, he's saying something that would make the lives of all Americans better, a way of sustaining ourselves in a society to where as things are just breaking down. I was just telling a friend of mine today, it's amazing in New York how over the last 2 years, we haven't had any type of major winter storms that has basically over the past, like, shut down the city. I mean, I don't even think that the kids have taken a snow day this year out of school. I don't even think that there's been more than maybe 8 or 10 inches of snow this whole winter. Now, you know, I may be speaking too quick. You know, we still got a month or two ahead of ourselves. But it's just amazing how, you know, there just hasn't been the type of snow that it's been in the past. And, you know, I've had a couple of friends of mine that work with the sanitation. They upset because they can't get none of that overtime money. And I just laugh at them, and I tell them it'll be all right. But what I really was calling about is in regards to what's going on with this Democratic Party. It is absolutely sad that a party would prevent somebody that the people who they're supposedly supposed to be representing want, and the people that they're giving you to are those individuals who have your best interest not at heart. I mean, I have issues with Bernie Sanders, but it's clearly, to me, it's Bernie a bust, like I tell everybody, because the other candidates has really nothing to offer. I mean, Joe Biden, the more and more every day that we talk about Bloomberg, the more he's revealing himself to be what he's shown people like me and Patricia and Ed out in Queens and others, David in, you know, New York, what he was really about. I mean, the nation is going to find out. And when they do, I don't know if they're going to support him. And I don't know if everybody like the Gregory Meeks and some of these others are up to being bought. So that's going to be the real litmus test in the question, because in all honesty, all he's trying to do is buy an election that he can't win. He can't beat Trump. He just doesn't have the charisma nor the intellect to beat Fredo. I mean, you know, this is serious business politics. And when you're dealing with somebody like Fredo, you know, you got to be on top of your game. I mean, you know, Biden, you know, he's losing it, man. I mean, to listen to Biden and to watch Biden's actions and responses and his demeanor and his intellect and all of those things, he's living on the path. He living on his association with Obama. I mean, it is comical. You know what I mean? Because he just ain't got that snap wit no more. And he not
okay,
gonna
so,
be able
so you
to
clear
it.
About what's not working. What is working?
Ain't nothing working other than Bernie trying to give people an idea that we need systematic changes to the system. And I don't agree with all of Bernie's, you know, points and emphasis and things of that nature. But what he is trying to do is offer the people something that is counter-reactive to what we have now that could maybe take some of the burden off of their lives. That's all a politician can really do is try to, hopefully, if he's for you, take some of the burdens off of you. Unfortunately,
well,
the politicians
point,
we that we are now don't do that.
We have to deal with it also from an institutional point of view. Of all the institutions that would have some kind of leverage in the course of this presidential campaign, what do you see? Which institutions are doing what you think would be helpful?
I don't see no institution really doing anything that will be helpful to moving us forward on the collective. I mean, I don't think any institution is really going to do anything to change.
What, therefore, do you see in terms of at the people level? What do you see?
In all truthfulness, I don't really see the people level either, because we're just so divided. I mean, if you're going to talk about a people level of collectivism, you got to look at the Republican Party, man, because their people, which has just been shown with this whole trial thing, is they stay on code. They stay on message. They don't, you know, even if it don't smell right to them, they just hold their nose and continue to move forward. I mean, that's what them Republican senators just showed you. You know what I mean? I don't believe that, you know, for those who people who have support Fredo, I don't really think honestly their lives.
Don't call him Fredo. Okay, he has a name. His name is Donald Trump. Let's do that. When you use the other thing, we sink down to his level. Let's not do that.
Trump. I don't think the people that support Trump's lives have gotten any better. I just think that they dealing in a whole craziness of their racial hysteria, if the truth be told. I mean, they're trying to sustain their position in this country as white people. And those blacks that go along with it, they just trying to be a part of something. They don't understand it for what it is and for what it's worth. They basically being used and manipulated because of their madness from which they suffer from. But I mean, no, I don't see no institution doing anything to bring the country together, to build the country into something, as they say, make America great again. I mean, you facing extreme turmoil in this country if this guy is reelected. I mean, it's no telling what's going to happen. And if he's not reelected, you still facing turmoil because you don't know how his constituency is going to act and behave. So
where does it put you personally in the scheme of things, in terms of the political situation? Where does it put you?
Where does it put me in the position? I mean, I just probably look at what's going on locally. I try to participate in the local politics, the national politics as just an observer, you know what I mean? But my whole thing politically is local. What's going on in the school board, you know, who my congressmen, assemblymen, and all of that is. But as far as the nationally, I mean, it is what it is, man. I'm one of these people, man. I'm just trying to keep my head above water, take care of my family, and make sure I got a roof over my head. All that other stuff, man, I'm at the age where, you know, I'm trying to go out gracefully. You know what I mean? I'm trying to go out with as less stress as I possibly can. The most important thing in my life to me, to be honest with you, is a roof over my head, man. That's the most important thing. Have a good day.
And I want you to listen on Monday.
Hopefully you can connect me with Patricia. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. That would be up to Patricia. Not up to me. Okay, John from New Jersey. What have you to say today?
Hello, Latrice.
Hello.
First-time caller.
Hey! I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, I've been going around and working, and I've been hearing, you know, I used to listen to BAI a long time ago. Now, you know, this year, since the election coming up, and I just say, let me hear what, you know, the PRN family got to say. So I listen here and there, you know, during lunchtime and stuff like that. And, you know, and going by the election is it's quite shameful, because the primary reason that the election going the way it is and how the Republican looks better and the Democrat look weak, because the Democrats know that basically they're going just by the woman vote, because most of the men cannot vote or scared to vote because they've been having prison records. So, you know, you've been locked up for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and after a while, they put this shadow over your head saying that if you do a disobedience, that takes the backbone out of the voting system, because you can't go out and protest, because if you protest and get arrested, you could go back, you know, to jail or be exposed, you know, especially when you're working and just have the basic means of survival. So basically that takes the wind out of yourself. So basically the Democrats, you know, they notice, and that's why they only are appealing to the women voters, because majority are women. So that's why I believe Biden's going down south, right? And he's basically going to get women voters, because most of the men cannot vote. And that's why it takes, you know, I believe, you know, not a smart person, but basically a rational person believe that's why the system the way it is, because during, you know, if you read the Bible, the Quran, men is the head of household. And that's why basically they are knowing this and they are playing a game to control mostly the woman mind, because most of them are head of household and the men are playing a second role. And that's why it's reverse psychology. That's my belief.
Well, first of all, I must encourage you to listen in on Monday. It's a very important reason for you to listen in on Monday. We keep inventing reasons and rationales for why we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing. We, you know, Dr. Leonard Jeffries used to call it the paralysis of analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We analyze things to death. Not that we are doing anything, we're just analyzing. And we are at a point, and I need you to take this very seriously. We are at a point at which we will be buried in our analyses, and because it does not come with action. Thought without action. Thought for thinking's sake.
Okay.
We have to understand how extreme the situation is. And the time for just talking is gone. We need action.
Mm-hmm.
A simple thing, and I've been talking about it for years. I'm not exaggerating.
Mm-hmm.
Start a broom brigade and clean up your block.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. Everything else goes out the window. You don't need to talk about who's Democrat, who's Republican. The only thing you need to know is who is with you in helping you clean up your block.
Okay.
And okay. That is where you start, with people who make real their verbal commitments or their verbal testimonies translated into action. I don't care whatever level, but do something.
Right,
and we
right.
have not moved beyond doing, just talking. Mm-hmm. We haven't moved to the moving part yet, and I don't know what we're waiting for. I think we are reluctant to take the opportunity to exercise leadership in the process of reconstructing our communities that will function a lot more efficiently if we exercise self-control, but we're not doing it. And we're seeing this all over the place. We've got to get out of this. We haven't moved, and we're not moving. You know, even a shark dies if it doesn't move.
Right.
So this is where we're at.
I agree. And you know, just to put in a short ending, you know, what you said is true, but how can you separate the minds from technology? Because most of the people now are controlled by technology. They're not really critically thinking. They are basically having 2-second synapse. I mean, you look at the news. I mean, it's like they give everything in 1 minute. So basically, everything is quick and fast and less painful. Whereas technology, whereas somebody could walk around the cell phone right in the middle of the street, right, looking at traffic, and is not concerned about what's going on. Everybody is into technology, or what something is basically taking their minds off the situation.
Yeah, but we shouldn't care about that. We should not care about that. Here's the thing. The situation is so serious, we can't afford to wait for people to wake up anymore. We can't, we don't have the time. We don't have that luxury of time to see whether they would come around. We have to start without them.
Okay.
If they want to join, and if they see in time that it is to their advantage to join a fight and to galvanize support, I mean, hip, hip, hooray. But we can't wait any longer for them to wake up. We'll have to move without them. And they could join later. But we have to move and start something.
Yes. So basically, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, to be a martyr, right? A martyr. I mean, that's what it is, because if you step forward and everyone else is behind you, you're the first to be targeted and disqualified in minds of most people, because they say, oh, boy, here we go, a soapbox.
Yeah, but just speaker. Keep this in mind. Okay. If Harriet Tubman waited until the time was right and until people were ready, you know, her revolution would never have happened. Think of all the leaders who had to go it alone because other people were too scared to fight for their own interests.
Okay.
And it's in every field of endeavor. In the church community, I just talked the other day about Russ Worm, who is also known as the father of the black press. He waged a major fight within the Episcopalian community and started his own church along with others. We can't wait. We do not have the luxury of waiting for people to get up to speed. At some point, we have to make some harsh decisions. You either ready or you're not. We're moving. We are moving.
I agree.
We have to move this revolution along. We have to take charge of getting something going. And we cannot be deterred any longer. We have wasted too much time and energy and resources waiting for people to wake up. We're not even asking them to join yet, and they're retarding progress. And we have to do something about that. People are fighting for our interests. Just Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all these people had to come to this point. They had to deal with this reality. And they even embraced the possibility of losing their lives because of what they knew had to be done. But people were terrified to move. And on the other hand, you had people who said, it's time to move. We can't wait for you. It's what's going to have to happen in our communities now. You're either with us or you're not. Either ready or you're not. Love you, but I gotta leave you. Because you're not ready. And you're not intending to be ready. You're giving yourself all kinds of permission to discourage yourself, to give yourself a rationale for why you won't move. Well, you know, in a revolution, you got to move.
It is true. I mean, that's the basis, you know, the fundamental of all movements, and, you know, the move first. And, you know, and for me, I mean, to move, yes, it's going to be a struggle because I know at first I'll be only the one to be moving because everyone else is not paying attention. And it's going to be a hard struggle because unless some, you know, something happened where we have a solar explosion, maybe a star blow up and knock out the, you know, the technical connections, maybe we should begin to have people to pay attention because right now, everyone is embedded in other things. I mean, everybody is not serious. Everyone is just walking.
So you leave them there. You leave them where they choose to be. It is not like they haven't been presented with choices. Okay. It is not that they haven't been given information. At some point, there has to be movement. And you can't waste any more time. This is the point where we are at now. We have to call some hard shots. You're moving, then go ahead and move. If people are not ready, you know, you give them a nice wave as you move beyond them. You cannot, we cannot be retarded anymore by people who choose. They make the choice to move against their own interests by doing nothing. And we've been talking and talking and talking. It's time to end the talking. I have been talking for years about a simple idea. And, you know, it was to form broom brigades. Go get a broom. Okay. And every Saturday morning at some predetermined time, we are cleaning up our block every Saturday morning.
Okay.
It hasn't happened yet. And the big investment is a broom, for crying out loud.
Okay. I will use that. That's something for me to think over the weekend. And it was, you know, a pleasure speaking to you, Eutrice. I mean, I won't be, become invisible. I'm trying to keep in touch because right now I'm on my lunch break, and it ends around about 5 minutes. So I will, you know, listen to the rest of the callers, and after a while I will keep your thought in mind because, like,
I'm so thankful
the basic things.
And I'm so happy to know that you're one of us now. You're joining us.
Yes.
Just the act of exchanging ideas and talking and being open to that is a source of great joy for me. So I thank you for giving us a bit of joy in an otherwise bleak day. Thank you so much. Maat from New York, you're on the air.
Yes. Greetings, beloveds.
Thank you.
First, I want to shout out to Harvey. Recently, he did a piece on reparations around the war on drugs and cannabis pot arrests. I'm very interested in what he had to say, and I'm hoping that maybe next week I could leave an email with your producer, Screena, and he could maybe write that up, send it to me. I'd like to put it in an article and give him credit. And, you know, if we need to compact it or edit it, I would like to do that and get it out there.
Okay, one factual thing. I don't have a producer, Screena.
Well,
never
the
have.
Gentleman who picks up as we
okay.
as Somebody, we call it
first,
in on air.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm saying that just so that people don't hang extra responsibilities on him. He's already
yes.
he already needs 10 arms as it is.
Yeah,
so,
I understand, but we should be able to put it together. You guys are very, very clever and creative. The other point I want to make is it was good to hear the brother who just called in. I think first time caller, I think you said his name was John
yes,
on his
John.
Lunch break. Yes, I think that he made an excellent point that we shouldn't gloss over in that I do a project around a future inquiry and ethics and access. And I think what he was saying when he was talking about the technology, or this is how I took it, is the human itself, we as humans, and especially as this artificial intelligence comes online, we are changing. And I think there's whole discussions that we could have about, he didn't flesh it out, but I think he really has something there, because I'm finding that certain people, for example, I know at one point you shared that you had pulled off a Facebook, and I can't remember the details, but at some point would like to know. But I think there are examples that as people tune into these various platforms and social media, is that their characters themselves are changing. I think that's an important discussion to have and to continue to have it, because people are having a different idea, Utrice, of community. And I don't want to hold the line to go into it now, but I think that he was really, really touching on something important. And my is how odious Bloomberg is. I mean, he comes out and he's being revealed that what has been a big time discrimination against blacks building up any wealth in their homes and real estate as redlining, is he turned that as that was part of the problem, the discrimination. And
well,
there is
a I have a very basic idea about I think we have way too much information about way too many things, and we're not doing a damn thing that we have information about. I don't know what we're waiting for. I don't know what else is going to help, but it is, again, this is my second time quoting Leonard Jeffries in this program today. We have a paralysis of analysis. Everybody has 4,000 different things that they're considering. And then you ask, So where is it being put into action? And you get dead silence. Nobody wants to do the work. They want to think, or they want to posit theories, which is great because it's good to be informed. But we have more than enough information, more than enough analysis, more than enough references by now to do something. But we're not doing anything except producing more stuff that isn't going anywhere. This is a frustration for me. You couldn't need anything more to convince you that we're in bad shape. We don't need another survey, another poll, another study. For 400 years, we've known this as a truth. And when we look at our performance today, in terms of overcoming these obstacles with information we already have, we see how far ahead our ancestors were hundreds of years ago in terms of directly fashioning answers and solutions to their problems. They did it themselves. Nobody had there wasn't a surfeit of PhDs and master's degrees people running around. They had to eat, so they got land and planted their own crops. They needed their children to read and write. They built their own schools. Very simple response, a direct response to their understanding of their condition and what it would take to overcome those conditions. They were very clear about it. And nobody had postdoctorate degrees. Not at that time. They knew exactly what they needed to do, and they went ahead and did it.
Well,
that's what we need to do. We are stubbornly resisting the evident solutions that we have and the problems that we have defined. We're resisting it. We don't want to actually go to work. We want to sit in ivory towers and cogitate. That's not a solution. It doesn't help anything. Listen tomorrow, I mean not tomorrow, on Monday, a very instructive thing is going to be shared with this audience. We have even convinced ourselves that things aren't as bad as they are for us. That we still, you know, it's not the ideal, but it's not as bad as they say. Everything, every statistic is telling us, not only is it as bad as they say, it's worse. And we can't bring ourselves to that fundamental admission that we are in a very bad situation, collectively, all over the world. And we have no answers. And we're not interested in investing in solutions, even for our own good. We don't want any part of it. So this is the work that has to be done. You can't even begin to contemplate a revolution when you don't know why you're revolting, why you are taking on such a life-threatening thing. You don't even know your condition. You won't admit it. you have no intention of being personally involved in your own liberation. This is the problem, as I see it. We have reduced ourselves to being tourists in our own experience. We hop in, we hop out. We show up for a march, and then that's the end of that. We have no intention of committing to long-term struggle. And what I'm talking about is not even struggle. It's simply what one has to do as a person who is not yet fully liberated. That's what you have to do. It's a constant thing. It's like a second-hand car. We got a second-hand car. And we should be prepared for the reality that we'll always be fixing it until we finally reach the point where we could get rid of it. But we've been fooling ourselves and indulging in this fantasy that somehow we are better off today than we were 400 years ago. I could successfully argue against that point. We're not better off. We have been enslaved in new and ever more intricate and intertwined ways. And I'm saying this, if we don't get that message of how serious the problem is and why it is urgent, it's beyond urgent now, that we get involved and try something that would put us a bit closer to self-actualization. That's what we have to do as a community. Thanks for your call. We can take one more call. David from Brooklyn, that's you.
Yes, I know Professor Jeffries about his comment of paralysis following analysis. And I agree that some people are in that position. Not everybody, though. Because I feel that the people are suffering from the first part of the ruling class plan to keep people ignorant from making any correct analysis. So a lot of people are at that stage where they don't understand what's really going on. And so analysis is important. Now, I can speak for myself. I do analysis, and I take action. Those people who have read my book, Playing the Game, know what I've done. And I do it at all levels, local and, national and international. So I speak for myself. I know in my community, for example, most of the trees that you'll find where I live, I'm personally responsible for ordering those trees and blocks where there were no trees at all. So that's a local action, not waiting for anyone, doing it personally myself, starting about 40 years ago. And that is an example of local. Now, national things, I deal with that. The point is that I'm lucky to be alive because in the early 50s when I was in the military in the South, I did things that could have cost me my life, like going to the theater and thinking I could sit in the front of the theater with everybody else, or going to a swimming pool where white people are swimming. Those are dangerous things. I'm not saying yes, sir, which I was ordered to do by the local sheriff. So, you know, at all levels, I feel that you have to take some action. It's not a paralysis. You have to do a correct analysis and then take action following that. Now, the other thing that hits my mind is that people have to understand. Everyone's talking about things like what the Uniparty is doing with the Republicans side and Democrats side, and they have to get in their head that the mission, and the term mission is very important. Now, you know, as a military trained person, I was told about the mission. You know, my mission was to kill folks in the military. And the point is, they have to understand, I think, that the Uniparty, Republican Democrat Party, their mission is to enrich the ruling class, the oligarchy that runs the country. Their mission is not to do the best for the people who live here, or, you know, theirs is to enrich those in the upper class, a small fraction of that 1%. That's the mission, not to do what is good for the people who live here in terms of their social benefits, their quality of life, and the things that they need to have a good life. That's not the mission of those who rule. So I think that's important to understand that in your analysis, but don't let that put you into paralysis. You have to follow up by doing something. And you can't do something by deciding upon the so-called better of two evils. That's not going to do. You have to do something else beyond that. So people have to get through their heads that doing the status quo by deciding among the crooks that are running for presidency and the Uniparty, that is not going to make it. We got to do something more than that and take some action to get out of that situation where the mission of the country is to benefit that small under 1% of the people who live here.
Well, you ended it perfectly on time. So I thank you for that, because we're out of time at this point. And I always have to thank you for being as clear about your opinion, so that we in turn are clear about how we interpret what you just offered us to cogitate upon. So thank you so much for that. Thank you all. I am always grateful, always proud for the effort that people are making to offer the best of themselves when they come on air. It isn't important whether people agree or don't agree with you. It is important that you have some clarity and you can defend your position, which is how we are learning together. So one love today, and we'll see each other on Monday. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who add positive dimension to your life. Bye-bye.